With us tonight, we do very much appreciate your presence and your obvious interest in spiritual things. And standing here looking out at you, I am reminded of that passage in Psalm 122 and verse 1, where the Bible says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord." And that's an important thought that I want to begin with this evening, because I'm aware of the fact that, like many of you, I've seen some fascinating buildings in my day. When I finished high school, as I've told you, I went to Europe for the majority of the summer, traveled all over Europe. I've been to the Tower of London, and I've seen the crown jewels. I've been to Paris and went to the Louvre Museum, and I saw the Mona Lisa and Venus de Milo. I've been to Berlin. I've seen the wall. Been to New York City, and I saw the Twin Towers long before they were destroyed. I went to Chicago, and I saw the Sears Tower. I've seen some important buildings. I've had the privilege of continuing my education at some of the finest institutions of higher learning anywhere in the country. I went through some law enforcement training at the University of Alabama. I went through some forensic training at Auburn University. My cousin is on the faculty at the University of South Alabama in psychology, and I have been there as well. I used to be on staff at UAB Hospital for chaplains, for people that are from out of town who have absolutely no one to visit or to care for them. But all of these buildings of commerce, all of these buildings of industry, all of these buildings of education, none of them, are you listening? None of them have the influence of a humble congregation of God's people. None of them are greater than the Lord's church. And I'm aware of the fact that there are folks passing by this building even as we speak tonight that are struggling with a burden of guilt. Or maybe they have sorrow in their heart, and they need to know something about comfort. The comfort wherewithal we ourselves are comforted, Paul tells the Corinthians. They need to know something about the peace that passeth all understanding, as Paul told the Philippians. There are people out there, maybe even in here, who feel all alone and that nobody cares. And they need to know the sweetness of fellowship. There are people out there that are confused, that need answers to life's problems. And that's why we continue to make the point that we are a hospital, because there's no satisfaction out there. And all the training I had in prosecuting narcotics, I learned from the training of medical professionals that the number one reason people do drugs, pain avoidance. I've shared that with you before to emphasize the fact that I hurt so bad I don't want to think about it. So if I'm stoned or I'm high, I don't have to think about it. And I deal with kids in juvenile court who have tried everything except death. And every 8 seconds in this country, another kid attempts it. There goes another one. And every 20 seconds in this country, one of them is successful. It is approaching, not the second, but it's almost the leading cause of death among teenagers because they're seeking answers for life's problems and they don't know where to find them. And that's why I want to make a statement tonight, and I want you to take it home with you. Are you ready? It's good to see a church full of people. No. You know what's better? See a bunch of people full of church. How about that? It's good to see a church full of people. It's even better to see a bunch of people full of church. That's God's plan, is for us to go out in a dark world and be a shining light. So my dream for the Lord's church, we talked this morning that it was a church of unity, that it was a church of love and friendship, and that it was a spiritual church. But let me throw a few things at you tonight. Fasten your seatbelts. Folks, we've got to be a people church. Not that the church belongs to us. No, it's the Lord's church. But we've got to mean that this is a place for everybody. This is a place for all people. This is a place where everybody can feel at home, and this is a place where every member needs to feel like they are vital to the existence of the church. We can't do without you. That everybody is a vital part of the whole. I'm aware of the fact that some congregations are basically run by some prominent members. Basically the money. Recently, my daddy had to bury one of his best friends named Raymond B. Jones. He and his family are very well known in North Alabama. They named the airport at Huntsville after his father, Carl T. Jones. Ray was past president of Alabama Cattlemen's Association. People from all over, not the state, people from all over the country came to Ray and his farm because of his breeding of white-faced Herefords. And he was known all over the country as a cattleman. Well, he donated the land for the Mayfair Church, for their new building. And if you've ever been up there, that building is bigger than Jeff State. They had over 2,000 for worship this morning. But Daddy told me that when they dedicated the building, they brought Ray up to give him a plaque. He didn't want the plaque. He said, "To God be the glory." Does that work? Folks, it's the people. No, but it's not about prominent members. And ideally, and I know we need to minister to homogeneous groups. Don't misunderstand. But it's not the case that, all right, in our church we've got the old folks and then we've got the young folks and then we've got the teenagers and then we've got the And then we've got the rich and then we've got the poor. No. That's the whole point of church, is that we're all one. And in my judgment, one of the most beautiful words in all of Scripture is the word fellowship. You've heard me say it before. It ain't got nothing to do with coffee. I grew up as a kid thinking the word fellowship had something to do with coffee. Because what did we have in the fellowship hall? Coffee. No, that's not what the word means. It's joint participation. Joint participation. I heard an old preacher put it this way. When he says, in our fellowship, there is no first class or second class or third class. But on the good ship fellowship, everybody travels first class. Meaning, when you read the second chapter of the book of Acts, they had all things common. They had all things common. And they increased They grew. They continued steadfastly. Watch it now. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Is that important? You better believe it. But they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. And in prayer. They had people that had come from all over the known world as Jews to celebrate Pentecost. And then they learned about a God that loved them and a Jesus that died for them. And they obeyed the gospel. Now what are they going to do? Where are they going to eat? Or what are they going to eat? Where are they going to sleep? And that's why all men gave as they had need. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And so again, my dream for the Lord's church is that it's the brethren's church. It's the members' church. Not only that, but it is a live church. I mentioned this morning in passing the heartbreak right here. The congregation where I was baptized in 1968, we were at 300. Church dwindled down to nothing. They sold a building. We moved from there to Chattanooga, Tennessee, when in 6 years of Dad preaching there in 1974, we were at 600. And they dwindled down to nothing. And they sold a building. There's nothing any sadder in my judgment. There's nothing any more painful in my judgment than a dead church. Than a church that slowly dwindles down to nothing and dies. I heard an old farmer who explained this to me. And it made perfect sense once he explained what he was trying to say. His statement was, you can't hatch chickens in a Frigidaire. Now let that soak in. That's profound. You can't hatch chickens in a Frigidaire. They're not going to live in that cold environment. And my dream for the church is a live church that's warm and welcoming and alive, especially when it comes to our kids. We had some visitors this morning. People that are very near to me. Brother Durantes was here. A good family from Childersburg. And I gave them kind of a heads up. I said, now we're going to do something after communion that you may not have ever seen. And that is we're going to involve our children in our worship. And I know Matt and I have talked, it's one of the highlights of the Sunday morning. Am I right, brother? Why? Because it's imperative. Oh yes, we want them to understand they're going to be the church of tomorrow. But hear me. If we don't treat them like they're the church of today, there's not going to be a church of tomorrow. And so my dream is for there to be a live church with wonderful kids that run all over this building on Saturday at a VBS. But you need to know, and as a compliment to you, as a compliment to Amy, we had visitors this morning who came to VBS yesterday. That's a compliment to you. That's a live, functioning church. And I'm aware of the fact that we can have a big, beautiful building with all of the trappings. But if we don't have live, energetic people, the buildings don't mean anything. And I've had folks tell me, well, Christianity is boring. Well, if it's boring to you, don't blame God. Blame God's people, but don't blame God. And that's why I say again, those folks in Acts 2, they ate their meat with gladness and with singleness of heart. So my dream for the Lord's church is a live church. Not only that, my dream for the Lord's church is a trained church. What does the Bible say in the Proverbs? Train up a child in the way that he should go. What does it say in the New Testament? Study to show thyself approved. Folks, we understand this in every walk of life. We see how essential training is everywhere. When I'm in trial and I put a law enforcement officer on the stand, I ask him his name or her name, and then I say, by whom are you employed? And they say, so-and-so department or office. I said, what qualified you to be a police officer? What qualified you to be a deputy? What qualified you to be a state trooper? And they start recanting it. Their college degree, their graduation and successful completion of Alabama Law Enforcement Academy. Have you attained minimum standards? Yes, I have. What other schools have you been to? Or training, additional training? And I go on and on and on and on and on. Why? Because we see how vital it is in that line of work to be trained. Same thing's true of a pilot. They don't just say, here's your nice little uniform, fly that thing to Hawaii. No, there's quite a bit of training. And right here in our own state, we get football teams that spend millions and make untold millions and travel to bowl games all over the country, and hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of people come to see them play. But the coach doesn't say, here's your uniform, get out there. The coach doesn't do like our track coach did. Remember, Bobby, my track coach in high school, you say, when I take off, keep turning left, get back quick as you can. No. Football don't work that way. They start summer two-a-days. We've even had to legislate how often they can practice in the summer before they play that. Why? Training. We understand it in law enforcement. We understand it in football. We understand it in medicine. We say the same thing about medicine. I've told you repeatedly. I've had 12 operations in my life. 12 operations, and I read about a fellow who was, the doctor told him he needed surgery, and the fellow said, whoa, boy, I'm kind of scared of that. And the doctor said, why? He said, this will be my first surgery. And the doctor said, me too. That ain't funny. We don't want that. We don't accept that. Now, I said all that to say this. There's a world of people out there that if they died today, they'd be condemned to a devil's hell. And it's our job to tell them about Jesus. And that's why part of the work of this church, part of what took place yesterday, was planting that seed in the hearts of little children. And in addition to that, part of our work in the Lord's church is training, meaning, teaching, Bible study. What does the Bible itself say? Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Brethren, there's no task on this earth more important and more vital than being a child of God. And letting our light, didn't we do this to our babies when they were in Sunday school? Nothing is more important than letting our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's why you need to be here Wednesday night. Is because it's all about, my dream is for there to be a trained church. And then not only that, but my dream for the Lord's church is for her to be a faithful church. Once again, nothing is more essential. Now I want you to stop and think with me for just a moment. If you were as faithful to the church as you are in your business, if you are as faithful to the church as you are in your schooling, what would this church look like? Would we have many folks absent? Oh, I dare say. If we cared about the church like we cared school, if we cared about the church like we cared work, we would have a full house. On the converse, if we can be counted on in business like we're counted on at church, what would it look like? What would it look like? The whole point is that our social life, we want to be dependable, we want to be counted on in our social life, but somehow let the church take a back seat. Again, pardon the personal reference. I remember when we moved to Helena in 1990. My three boys were little bitty fellas. Tripp was 10. Will was 8. Clay was 6. But they love baseball. They love baseball. And we wanted to get involved in the youth league there in Helena. And I went to a meeting at the beginning of the year trying to organize because they even asked me to be one of the coaches. My good brother Jimmy Thomas was one of our deacons at Hoover. He was there as well. And we're trying to organize the league. And we're trying to divide up, make sure we got enough men, enough kids on each team and work out schedules. Some of y'all have been there. You know what I'm talking about. And then a subject came up about practice at the ballpark on Wednesday night and playing games on Wednesday night. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I looked at Jimmy and he looked at me, and I'm so glad for the leadership he exerted, and I was the fellowship. He stood up first. I stood up second. I said, we ain't doing that. I'm not coaching on Wednesday night. I'm not playing ball on Wednesday night. How do I convince my boys that nothing is important, is as important than the Lord's church when we go in that other direction? You see, and if you're feeling a little bit nervous about this, come downstairs and get some of the old church directories of this church and thumb through the pages. Bob and I did this when he first came here, Bobby, and Bobby helped us. We went through that directory. Where are they? Where are they? Where are they? There's some that have moved away. Okay. There's some that have gone down the road. Okay. Where are they? They're not going anywhere. See, when Jesus said the fields are white unto harvest, he didn't just mean overseas. He meant our own people, and that's the point we're trying to make tonight. There's nothing more important than the Lord's church. The church of my dreams is faithful. And we know what that means in every walk of life, but we want to come up with some other definition for the church. Now, all of these point to this. And that is, my dream for the Lord's church is for the Lord's church to be a soul-winning church. Folks, I don't want to be misunderstood. Our purpose is to bring people to Jesus Christ. Our purpose is not to build a fine building and have it used by various groups and organizations. That's all fine, well, and good. But that's not our purpose. We have Girl Scouts that uses, that's great. We have Alcoholics Anonymous, that's wonderful. But that's not our purpose. Our purpose is to bring people to Jesus Christ. And I said this morning, I wish everybody in this room had a key to this building. I found out pretty much we do. Pretty much we do. And I know there's classrooms that need to be decorated, and I know there's work to be done in the fellowship hall, and I know we're trying to help people stay off drugs and alcohol, and we're trying to be a shining light in the community to the scouts, and all of that's wonderful. But that's not our purpose. That's not our ultimate purpose. Our purpose is to use those as a stepping stone of people to be introduced to Christ. And I say again, what a thrill that people who don't know you and don't know anything really about this building, but because they came to Vacation Bible School, they came to worship this morning. The Lord's church is a soul-winning church. And so I ask you point blank, you serious about this? I've been to some places where you come in and it's kind of like some of the motels I've stayed in. Folks got a sign on them that says, do not disturb. Oh, I don't want to think about it. No, I just want to come to church and punch my ticket or get my ticket punched and then go home. Dear folks, that's not the purpose of the Lord's church. My Jesus said, come that you might have life and that you might have it more. Ooh. And that abundant life is knowing that your sins are forgiven. That abundant life is knowing when you pillow your head. You like that old prayer we used to teach? If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul. No, it doesn't have to be a wish. It can be absolute fact. You pillow your head at night knowing you're a saved child of God. And like the old boy said, it don't get no better than that. And that's why we beg people to be baptized. And if you've never been baptized in water for the remission of sins, we pray for the opportunity to baptize you tonight. Maybe you're hurting and you're struggling. Maybe you've lost sight of your purpose and what the church is all about. You need to rededicate your life to God. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you tonight, right now. While we stand, while we sing, Matt will lead us.